Hi. I just wanted to finish up with some more of the Eckhart Tolle points, and which are very powerful, and didn't get to them in the 6-weekend class. But I want you to have them on video and on audio, so we're going to put these together here. One of the basic elements that he talks about are the ego, which is form and thinking, and the core self. He doesn't really call it the core self, but the true self, which is non-form, and so we our souls are primarily non-form. They're all non-form. This quality within us right here is it's not even something you can point at. It's an essence. And that quality, that consciousness that it is really who we are. And so the ego that is primarily a sixth chakra, a small element actually of the sixth chakra, thought process, and then linked directly to a small version, a limited version of the third chakra, which thinking who I am and acting that way and thinking who I am and then running, and basically the thinking runs the chakras in a very limited sense, is what he's talking about. The ego is puts you in a box, basically limits you to a set of beliefs or vows and memory, rather than the experience, the deep feeling, the deepest inner feelings that you have, which you need to be able to live in your profile or live your life purpose. So he talks about the ego in relationships, and he says basically the ego is very simple. It will have it either is wanting. It's either desiring something, because the ego always you'll notice that when you're in defense, there's no moment when you're in defense when you aren't thinking things could be better later. I really want this. I really wanted that. You know, even though I got this, I really want this. And the ego by its nature wants more, because who you are has been rejected. The non-form part of you that fills you, that fills the universe, that makes you one with all things, isn't enough. And so the ego is like, well, that's not enough, because nobody even cares about that. What we care about is how much money I have, whether I have a good job, whether I have the nice car, or the person that cares about me. So it's like whatever your attachment is in the sixth chakra, the belief system that's what I should have if I'm ever going to be happy. The ego always wants. Its secondary quality is what he calls thwarted wanting. I love the way he says thwarted wanting. And what happens is that after the ego really wants something and can't get it, it gets really mad. And so it has anger, resentment, blaming, complaining. Those are all thwarted wanting. So the complaining that you don't have things in your life, the complaining, the anger that things haven't worked out the right way, and that's called thwarted wanting. It's sort of the inner child. It's the hissy fit that comes up when the ego doesn't get what it wants. And then if the ego, and then the ego's final stand in that is called indifference. And people in the spiritual circles will often call it detachment, but it isn't when it's coming from the ego. Detachment is actually completely connected and a realization and a full acceptance of life. But indifference is more dissociation. And we talk about this, a lot. That's a tough, many people who say they're detached are actually just dissociated. They've actually just, their ego has just decided, I don't care. It's like, if I can't have it, I don't even care about it. So go on and do whatever you want to do. That's called indifference. And that's what the ego does. The ego gives up and says, fine, and what ends up happening is what indifference is you don't see anything anymore that you can get from the world. And so you become indifferent to it. And that's a very dangerous world when people are not, they realize they can't get something from somebody or some nation or some business or whatever it is, and they just say, well, I don't even care what happens to them now. They don't even exist to me. That's what the ego does. And it's very dangerous, because that, you're still in relationship with them, there's still a company, a business, a person, but that not caring about people, not, you know, because you can't get anything from them, is a very dangerous place to get to as a culture. And since the ego is governed by fear, remember, when you lost this part of you, this element of knowing your core quality, you lose this, the real knowing who you am, who you are, who am I? So fear of being nobody, fear of not having that, and not existing, not it's sort of like not having that depth and this core quality, and of course the life purpose level as well, the power of the really solid knowing who I am spiritually and what my purpose is. Not knowing that leaves me terrified and afraid that I'm not going to get enough, or that I'm not enough, and so what happens is that the ego, of course you can't survive without a sense of purpose. Nobody, there's nothing worse than having no sense of purpose. So the mind jumps in and says, "Hey, I'll give you a sense of purpose. It's this. It's that. It's if I get this. If I get that job. If I have this relationship. If I do this." And so what it does is it starts, since you're not allowed to be formless, you start naming yourself. I'm Reese. I'm this. I'm this old. I'm this type of person. You start naming, and by naming things, it seems to make the life world. That's my, and it's especially when you add I, me, or mine to something and say that's my car. Well, that means I've got that. So that means I'm this solid, and it's my house. Whoa, well, that's even more solid because I've got two of those things that don't seem to be going anywhere. They aren't formless. They're real, and I'm related to them. So those become my attachments. That's my wife. That's my child. That's my, all of those things start defining me, and the consciousness. The problem is the consciousness cannot be known, but when you use words, so even the car, certainly. Your spouse, your child, those are non-form. But when you name them and point, what happens is the words are good pointers. But if you think that the word is the thing, you're living totally in the mind state. So basically, all thinking and naming of things is in the realm of what's called duality, where there's a you and it, subject and an object. And a knower and a known. It's like, I'm here, camera's there, I'm here, chairs are over there. By that relationship, it's called an object relationship, I can sort of kind of define who I am by what I'm in relationship with. I'm in this room. I own Solstice Healing Arts. I own the Reese Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine. So now somehow I'm real. This is a real place for me, rather than it's this, who knows what this place will be, 1,000 years from now. It certainly won't be mine. And it may not even look like this at all. This is just the form it's taking at this time. And consciousness, the element of consciousness, especially in sentient beings, is not knowable and has no form. And so naming a person or saying, "Well, I know Bill. He's just like that." That is a very dangerous place to go and a very unhealthy place. Rather than saying, "Yeah, that's Bill, but what's happening with Bill's life today? What's going on today? Who are you today?" That's a healthy way to be in relationship. Life itself is formless. My life, Bill's life, is just an opinion, and opinions are relative and temporary. So when you start seeing the way you name the world in the present moment, and then hang on to that and say, so if I knew Bill today, I wake up tomorrow, I'm like, I know Bill. He's just going to be just like this. Is that true? No, absolutely not. Bill could be anything. He could have transformed. Bill could have died. Bill could have moved out of the country. You have no idea. But in your brain, by knowing Bill that way, it makes one more solid thing in your life that you can then say, well, I know Bill that way, so that means I know me that way, and that's how my life works. So structure, all structure itself, when you really see that all of these forms, all of these structures that we create are all unstable. They are all, they, you know, basically anything that you see in front of you in, you know, 5,000 years from now is going to be dust. And they are constantly changing. The ego needs to make them stable to strengthen the image of who I am. But all structures pass away, and so since you can't feel your own inner instability, the essence is dynamic. It's not a form. You can't point it out and say, well, that's that. So it's important to understand that that's the basis for the understanding of attachments. What Holly is talking about here is talking about attachments, and we have a lot of those when we talk about our vows. Those vows are huge attachments of belief systems. And he goes on to discuss, you know, analysis, when we analyze the world that way and name everything, creates separateness. The universe as a whole is an absolute. The ego's compulsive thinking and labeling things disintegrates the universe. It disintegrates our ability to be one with the universe, and your sort of your interconnectedness at the soul level. You are interconnected. I mean, this connects to all other souls, all other elements, and cuts life into fragments that lead to choices to disconnect from the whole. And so the Kierkegaard statement, when you label me, you negate me, is very true. When you label something, you actually are not seeing it at all. You are naming it to conveniently sort of make a cognition on it and say, well, that's that. And so that way I can stop thinking. I don't have to sort of reinvestigate it every time. I know a chair is a chair. I'm not going to, you know, sort of recognize that that chair is actually billions of molecules moving around and transforming. But, you know, that's not important right now because it happens so slowly. It seems like form. But a human being is constantly changing, never the same, never like a chair. You know, well, some people, I guess. But there's a quality of dynamism in a human being that really can't be named. And to you know, believe that, to believe that we can name ourselves and know ourselves in a concrete way leads to being very stuck in our lives. So what he's basically suggesting and what we teach in the program here, and he's reinforcing, is that you need to be following your deepest feelings. To know who you are, you have to feel who you are. To know your life purpose, you have to let those deep feelings, so you have to allow the deepest feelings within you emerge, and without judgment of them, without you know, not feelings that come from the way you thought yesterday, oh, I don't like that. It's just what's coming up, what's emerging, and what emerges is this quality within you that's your true highest purpose. It's your, in this moment, your feelings are designed, your soul and your chakras and your life purpose line are constantly emerging as feelings. And amazingly, those feelings have one purpose, to teach you who you are at the highest possible level, which we call your profile. And when you realize that profile, there's what happens is that your formlessness takes a form in this moment. It's like this action that I take is the expression of my formlessness rather than the expression of my memory of who I am and what I ought to be and who I am, and that's my thing, and I take action on that way. So part of your attention needs to always remain in formlessness. If you're going to be present in your life, you have to keep your attention, part of your attention, in formlessness. When we teach you how to do healing work, what we're teaching you how to do is to feel the healing, sending the energy, the formlessness of the energy of what you're made of, and simultaneously be conscious, be aware of what's actually happening, where you're putting your hands, what's going on, so that when you learn how to hold both your formlessness and the form, which which we have to have. The lower two chakras, you know, especially the lowest first chakra, lives in form. We cannot pretend that I cannot move through this wall, you know, not in my current form. And so I have to honor that form all the time because that's our vehicle for our lives. But what we're made up mostly is this formless quality, this deeper feeling, this deeper awareness, consciousness. And so he goes on to say about addictions and attachments is that they are unconscious ego patterns that fill the void created when we reject our inner emptiness. So the emptiness of what we are, the non-form that we are, when we reject this and say, well, no, I'm not that. I'm the chakras here. Or even generally people are just like, I'm just my body and I'm just getting it done. And I get the job done. And I don't even know what's good is a soul. I mean, you go to church and they talked about it. What is that thing? I mean, and when you're disconnected from that, when all you are is form, but what you're mostly made up of is non-form, there's a real deep longing for that. And so you will, the further away from energetically your form you get, the more you're going to need something to fill that empty hole. And so that big thing that seems to be missing in our lives when we're like, there's something missing. I'm doing all these right things, but there's something big missing in my life. What it is it's this radiant element of you that could fill you completely and make you feel completely whole and passionate and enthusiastic and connected. It does all that stuff. But when you're disconnected from it, you don't know, all you feel is an emptiness. And so the emptiness is often filled by an addiction or an attachment to something that makes you feel real. And that's a really important understanding that our addictions, if you're working with people with addictions, you need to find out, you need to bring them further back into their connection to their essence. And their essence has a flavor. And that's why we teach the profiles. You can break someone's, when someone is not who they are, they're pretending they're someone they are not, they're totally in form, they will often have severe addictions. When they learn and they come into their sense of quality of self, I can't tell you how many people go through the program and they stop drinking, they stop having any type of need for an addiction because the self is full. Now, if I'm addicted over here and I'm not connected to the self, I can put myself in a program, I can get therapy, I can do things, I can force myself not to think about that. But it's still going to be an empty hole. That'll need to be fed by some other behavior which may be healthier than a drug addiction or a drinking or something like that. But it's still got, that hole will still be calling you. You may like become codependent in your relationship then. You know, you may be something else, but it's only the soul, only the essence that fills you. As you become less form, you realize how much more you have always been. And so as I step away from this and I realize all of this power and wonderful creation I am, all of a sudden, you know, I'm living in a freed life. So empowerment is not mustering the forces, but more freeing the essence to fill yourself, to feel that quality. Thought is form. So we have thought, thinking is form itself. It's like literally, thoughts are the form of consciousness. They make something concrete that we can actually sort of deal with in our brains and add them together and like numbers. Thoughts are form. And so by their nature, thoughts themselves cannot understand stillness. They can't understand non-form. We only understand form. It's like the brain only works on form. It's like this is solid, that's that. Non-form, how do you even think about it? How do you even think about the soul? Because it's non, you can't describe it in any way other than it. You can feel it. It's a sensation. It's like there's like a presence. And so form, you can't, I mean, I can call it presence, but presence for each one of us in each moment is going to be totally different. That's why you cannot actually, through thinking, learn how to do this. You have to feel at the deepest level. So He also talks about awakening, which is really the process. The chakra process is the chakra that is the process of awakening. It's the alchemy of awakening. As you go up through the chakras and clear each chakra, you become more and more and more awake until you reach chakra 7, and you go, oh my God, that's who I am. That's what I get. And then the life purpose kicks in, and you become aware of that's a part of my life purpose because it's calling me. These levels, the life purpose and the soul level, are callings. The chakras will call you as well when they are connected to these. But when the chakras are being run in a much more limited way by thinking, they will still call you to things, but they'll call you to things that don't fill you. They're not your highest purpose. That's why knowing your life purpose, and knowing your profile gives your feelings a basis for what they need to do. So awakening is seeing. Thinking and consciousness are separate. So awakening is seeing and seeing both thinking and consciousness are separate. One of the first things that this person that's all in form over here, it's I'm doing this and I've got that and my car and my house and my this and this is what my life is and it's my job and so at some moment there's like sort of this like they maybe have an out-of-body experience, they go to a meditation class, they have something, some guidance, some grace comes down and says, just let me just give you a clue. And all of a sudden, they step back a little bit and they realize that there's this thinking part of them that's down there thinking and making form and doing and surviving in the world, but there's another part of me. And that's awakening. Awakening is when you realize that your thinking isn't intelligence, it's thinking, it's process. It's a process of creating form in the world, and it does a really good job, and it gets you to work on time. It gets me to do this, you know, to remember that I need to do this video. It reminds me that I'm going to pick up food at the store on the way home. It's going to be great, you know, all that stuff. But it isn't who I am, it's thinking. Thinking is a process of managing myself at the lower first, really primarily just the first chakra level. Thinking keeps me functional. So awakening is when you are able to sort of separate. And often the crisis that usually happens in the person who is over here in form is that they've so committed to form that when they lose it, when someone dies or their job fails or something drastic happens, that form should have never happened. Their deal was, I have that forever and that's who I am. Well, all of a sudden I lose it all. Now there's this realization that my form, my thoughts, you know, I'm still here, but the whole world that I thought was real isn't real. So who the hell am I? And that separates it. The other way that happens is if they become incredibly successful. If you become completely successful and it was supposed to make you feel fantastic and be one with the universe, and you realize it doesn't, it's just another day. It doesn't matter. You win the lottery. 6 months later, you're still miserable. You know, you have that elation for a period of time, and it's like, well, I'm still just as empty. I've just got more money now, which is, you know, probably a little better place to be. But the real money you're after is the soul. And that's what real awakening is. You awaken to this quality, this awareness. But the problem with awakening is that you cannot plan to awaken. So people that go and do this, so like I'm awakening here, I'm doing this. Because what happens is that if you plan to awaken, what are you doing? You're making awakening, you're making consciousness a thing. It's like, I'm going to be more conscious. So I'm labeling it. I'm like, well, this is what it'll look like when I'm more conscious. And so you start making form out of it, and this is how you do. And usually what ends up happening is people that are studying consciousness and working on their consciousness and becoming more enlightened and spiritual, end up with what's called spiritual mask, where they haven't really evolved beyond form, they just change the form. So before they were maybe, you know, sort of, you know, fighting for the dollar and doing this and doing that and realizing that didn't work. So now I'm over here. I'm totally spiritual and I love God and I love this and I'm doing this. It's just all same. It's all still form. No evolution there. Just one form, trading one form for another. And so awakening it takes a surrender. If you understand that awakening is like a person like Christ, you might study Christ's life and study it and say, well, he did this and he did this and I'll do all those things, then I'll be awakened, right? No, you won't be awakened at all. You'll just be a person who can robotically follow some orders. Christ came to those decisions in the present moment through his feelings. He did not come through to those moments through thinking. So we also mentioned, talks about seeking. Seeking is the act of the ego. We talked about that at the beginning. The ego always wants more, and so being a seeker, I'm always looking for the next thing. That's what the ego does. And whenever you're seeking, you are not living in the present moment. Unless you can realize that experiencing fully the present moment is seeking. To how rich can I make this moment? That's seeking. But always looking for the next guru, always looking for the next thing, always looking for the next great business idea, the great thing. What happens right now is you're not present enough. There's no presence. And it's your presence, it's how much you're in this that decides whether you're going to evolve and awaken more and more and more. Because if I'm awake now at this level, and I realize this is as awake as I am, yeah, it's as good as I can be. I'm kind of aware. I may have a little guidance. I may be able to communicate, but I got this going, and I'm okay with that. And as you surrender, then the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment, you surrender to that as well, and there's more and more, and you're given more and more, rather than recreating and recreating and recreating, or reincarnating, which we had talked about, reincarnating the past, yesterday's news. So to really live in your core, you have to be comfortable with uncertainty. Pema Chodron has a wonderful book called Being Comfortable with Uncertainty, which you read in the third year, and it is absolutely just a wonderful short read, but it really reminds you of that life is non-form. The non-form part of us, that's the greatest part. That's the part that's connected at all levels and is able to be intimate with everything and doesn't judge and analyze and separate and divide and decide whose is what, and where all of that stuff distracts from the realization that really I want to feel one with the universe. I want to feel one with my life. And so, awakening is really based on how present you can be right now, and that's the take-home message. Awakening is the level of presence, the amount of this, the amount of your energy field that you are able to hold, able to embrace. And that means feeling your feelings, acting, expressing yourself as the deepest feelings come up, and letting your deepest feelings be called, you let them call you to action. That's when you are of the most awakening, and your future, your evolution happens through consciousness, not through thinking. Okay, we talked a little bit about enthusiasm, which of course is my personal favorite, but he's saying that he talks about the conscious states are acceptance, enjoyment, and enthusiasm. And he said and he talks about it in a beautiful way. And he says if you're not accepting, enjoying, or enthusiastic about life, you are suffering. And it's such genius, just such simple way to look at it, and so it's a very easy sort of meter for your life. Am I accepting it? If I'm accepting it, I'm in non-resistance to life. I don't have to like You know, the fact that, you know, that I got a ticket on my car, or that it's raining on me, or, you know, it's, but even though, you know, why not? What's, I mean, the, everything that comes to you in your life, everything that gets magnetized to you, because the law of attraction, all of the chakras are just the law of attraction, are actually there to teach you something, to help you grow, to do anything. And it could be the greatest thing that ever happened to you, and probably is, even though at that moment, you can reject it and say, that shouldn't happen. Darn it, I hate when I get a ticket. Or you can accept it and say, okay, I accept this. I accept that I don't know what's happening here. And that's really the acceptance. When you accept it, it just means that I accept it because I don't really know the depth of it. But to reject it means to reject, you know, so the flow of life. And that would take me out of life. That would put me in the ego state where I'm going to, that's not real. This is real. My thinking is real. Enjoyment replaces wanting. It replaces it, you know, so rather than wanting something and sort of not waiting, you know, or waiting to start living or enjoying, you know, and it's enjoyment of being present. So wanting is the rejection. It's sort of like, I don't enjoy my life. I want something else. And I'm not enjoying, you know, I'm sitting here waiting, you know, I'm waiting at the bank, I'm waiting in line, or I'm driving, and all of a sudden, oh boy, there's a toll line, jeez, always. And rather than, you know, enjoying the present moment, being present, you know, all of a sudden there's a part of your brain says, I wish this weren't happening, I wish this, and so enjoyment is just really not only accepting life. So there's like, you can accept it and just say, well, this is just the way it is, and I'll be present with that, present with accepting it. Or what's the next level up of that is enjoyment. I could actually enjoy the fact that I've got time now. I can play the radio. I can do this. I could think. I could breathe. I could really concentrate on anything. I could really enjoy this moment. Or I can just wish it weren't doing that. And then the highest level of consciousness, the highest level of being in your life is enthusiasm. And what happens is that enthusiasm is enjoyment with a goal. So now you've got this sort of like, I'm enjoying myself, I'm just enjoying the present moment, and then it's like, oh, I could do this too. I could add to, and so now you add a goal to enjoyment and you get enthusiasm. It's this beautiful combination. I never heard anybody speak about it the way Eckhart Tolle does and bring those three together in that way. But it's just so simple, and you want to keep that in mind. You have three options in life. You need to either accept something, enjoy it, or be enthusiastic about it. Anything else you do is you deciding to suffer. And be in pain. And how much time do you spend not enjoying, you know, not accepting? You know, anything you reject is suffering. Anything you don't enjoy is suffering. And if you don't have the enthusiasm for living this moment, being in your life, really tough. And it talks about wanting. Wanting creates opposition in direct proportion to the intensity of the wanting. Enthusiasm is inclusive. So wanting is a rejection of the present moment, and it's proportional to the intensity of the wanting. If I really, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so late for this meeting, and I'm Jesus, if I don't get there, I'm going to lose the business, or I'm going to do this, Jesus, what's going on? You know, that level of the distance, the amount, the proportional, how much you want something, not the present moment. The reality is you're sitting in the car in traffic, totally present. There's no problem here. There's no problem here. The meeting will go on as scheduled, or it'll get canceled or whatever, but there's no problem until wanting it to be different makes you suffer. Enthusiasm, on the other hand, realizing if you could be enthusiastic in that moment, just like, okay, you know, this gives me time to really prepare what I want to say, or I realize that, okay, so now I'm going to miss this meeting, but that'll give me this. So the enthusiasm is I'm going to set a goal around what's happening in the present moment. So I can call them right now, and I can put them in the state where they realize that, you know, I got stuck or whatever, but that I've got this incredible idea for them as well. So they'll want to meet me tomorrow instead. So the enthusiasm, you can always find the ability to be enthusiastic, but it means taking the feelings you're having right now, the the essence, the materials of the right now, and adding a goal to that makes you excited, makes you happy. The idea the soul itself, this quality within you, is enthusiasm, and enthusiasm, this quality, when it appears, when you're in this quality and when you're in your life purpose, the ego, this part of you that holds to sort of form, and runs your system here, literally disappears. So enthusiasm and ego cannot coexist. One implies the absence of the other. So formlessness, of course, when I'm in formlessness, form, it's not that you don't see it, it's not there, it's that it's not running your life. Formlessness means that you see the fluidity of all of the forms in your life, that they're constantly changing. You know, your children are growing, the house is changing, everything's changing constantly. Whereas when you're in form, and formlessness doesn't exist, you're holding on to everything and trying to keep it the same as yesterday. And the idea that you are consciousness, this is what we're made of. We're made of this non-form. And you cannot lose consciousness unless you've made consciousness a concept, and then you can lose it. And if consciousness is, well, I'm only conscious when I'm healthy, when I'm only conscious when I'm this, or when I don't have consciousness, well, that's not true. Even if you have brain damage, the level of your consciousness may not be as functional in the form world, but there's still a level of consciousness. You are still that non-form. Nothing's changed. You cannot hurt your non-form. So our basic tenet in the school is what you do is not at the level of form. It doesn't have a lot of meaning. It seems like, well, the level of form, that's the whole meaning. Who I am has the meaning. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. And it determines the quality of the products you produce in the world. If I'm present and I'm bringing me, my passion, my enthusiasm to this, what I produce in form is going to be a reflection of that enthusiasm. If I'm rejecting the present moment, I don't like this, I want to make that, let's get rid of this. Now I'm creating something that is not going to fill that empty hole of not wanting to be. So it's important that when you embrace your core profile, what happens is that it gives you the rock to build. So this is one of the things that Eckhart Tolle does not have. He tells you have to do all this stuff, but he doesn't give you the foundation for what's going to make you enthusiastic. Your core profile is what makes you enthusiastic. You love being that. And if you're doing something in the world, you're in a business and you're in your form and you're doing this and you're being this level of consciousness that does this, but it doesn't feed the deeper quality, that non-form, that this essence of who you are, this profile, you're not going to have the foundation to build your life on. And so it ends up being work. And when you are enthusiastic and when you are living in your life purpose, life is not work. It's not that you don't go and do things and use your energy, but it's not a forced activity. It's what emerges out of you. This energy is infinite. When you tap that energy, you don't even need sleep. Saints didn't even need to eat. Many of them, they could go long, long periods of time. They were being filled from within. We're a little ways away from that, learning how to do that, but we can certainly call our passion, and our passion and our enthusiasm is the beginning of reconnecting with that. And for you to really feel who you are, be called to your highest purpose, which is your sort of your inner hero and your profile, and realize that is the foundation for what those feelings keep emerging, need to be guided into action for, you become a transformative element in the world. That's the most important thing for you to remember, is that you are the transformative element in the world, not what you do. So enjoy.